Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Now we've got to turn to the Fed, linking it into your economy. One of the things you know is yields have come down. Did you have a 14% Treasury bill, Treasury note rather? Did you? I didn't have a 14% Treasury bond, 30-year bond. Gary Schilling did. He's made a mint in bonds as yields drive down. He's also gloomy. That's a shock. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tom.
You write a great note. One of our producers said your note is just so interesting. What is the distinction of your insight note now versus what you wrote 5 years ago?
Not a lot, really. I mean, 5 years ago, we were talking about a long workout because we'd had such a huge leveraging up in the 80s and 90s, and the idea was going to take about a decade to unwind. We're about halfway through.
Jeff Gundlach told me that he's nervous being in bonds because he just can't take the risk that yields on a Gary Schilling way drive lower, the bond price goes up. He's got to be very defensive about owning bonds. You push against that, don't you?
Defensive against a rising asset? I don't quite understand that, but I think yields are going lower. I mean, you look at all the money that's being flooded in by the central banks, and now it's virtually global with the Bank of Japan in there. And what's happening? You don't see any effects on inflation because there's simply too much supply in the world. This money, it's pushing on a string. The deleveraging in the private sector is swamping everything that's happening, both in on the monetary and the fiscal fronts.
And this flooding of cash from central banks is not just affecting the bond market. It's affecting the stock market, too. It's something we talked about with Jason Trenor yesterday on Bloomberg Surveillance of Strategus Research. Here's what he says about that relationship.
The central banks are leading the stock market, and it doesn't mean it doesn't count. If you're a professional investor, you still have to be involved. Your clients are still going to hold you to the standard of what the actual market did. But the fundamentals, in my view, do not support the strength in the stock market.
Jason Trenert there with his recession call on the U.S. economy. Gary Schilling, how much are central banks distorting the stock market and the bond market right now?
Well, when they buy these securities, then people have the money. What do they do with it? In the past, QE1, QE2, they basically bought commodities and stocks. This time, there probably was some of that this summer. It may have been buy the rumor, sell the news, the anticipation. But the point is, it's not getting beyond that. The Fed is a very blunt instrument, monetary policy. I mean, their ability to create jobs is very remote. In other words, they've got to go through the idea of people buy stocks, they hope, and that creates this real wealth effect. They go out and they invest, they hire people and so on. But that's about four or five steps down the road.
Right. Let's look at the Gary Schilling note, of course, on deflation. Many of you know, I love his book called Deflation. It's truly a must read. Few agree with Gary Schilling's forecast of chronic deflation. They've never seen anything but inflation in their business careers or lifetimes. So they think that's the way God made the world. England would disagree with that in 1920 or Eisenhower in 1953.
Sure. And if you look at a lot of other areas. I mean, we have commodity inflation. We've had that since early last year. Tangible assets, houses, commercial real estate, they've been deflating in the last 5 years. You look at a lot of other areas. Wages, my goodness, real wages decline.
Can we see real wages go down in the United States?
Pardon me?
Can we see real wages go down in this country?
They are going down. They have been going down for 3 years, real wages. And, of course, people who lose their jobs, if people have been out of work 6 months, the surveys show about a third of them, if they do get a job, work for actually less money wage than they got the last time.
I agree. We're going to rip up the script here because Schilling has been a China watcher for years. We had Don Strasheim from ISI with us the other day. Cautious, I'll call it, 5 and 6% GDP. Mr. Schilling, you don't agree. You're gloomier.
Well, I think we're going down for a hard landing in China. You've heard me say that since late last year, Tom, and 5 or 6% is a hard landing. They need somewhere between 7 and 8% growth just to keep the economy stable, to accommodate new entrants to the labor force. But they're really hit by two things. One is the delayed effects of the earlier restraint they had. They were trying to deal with inflation and a housing bubble. And secondly, their exports. They're heavily export-oriented. their consumer sector is tiny. 34% of GDP is consumption. That's way off the chart. Even Russia has 58. The U.S. has 71. Right. U.K. 66.
Well, I like that comparison. It's great. If we go back to Jonathan Spence of Yale University and his magisterial books on China, and we bring it forward, the constant theme is it's a command economy. Do we make assumptions that they're like us, that they're a normal economy, when that's a complete fiction?
Tom, it's even worse than that, because if you combine a command economy, partly, which they have, with partly a market economy, that's the worst to try.
I agree strongly.
Absolute worst to control. You look at the hot money that went into China in anticipation of a higher yuan. Well, they didn't float the yuan, so it was a good idea. Now the money is flowing out. They have a devil of a time dealing with that economy. And of course, right now they're trying to deal with it because earlier when they stimulated the economy in 08, 09, they did it through the banks. Basically, that 12% of GDP equivalent in stimulus was run through the banks. A lot of it went to provincial governments. They stole the land from the farmers. They sold it to developers, used the bank money to finance the development. They taxed it. Great deal.
Right.
So now the banks are loaded with bad debt, so now they're having to turn to fiscal stimulus. They're unleashing projects.
They're building roads. They're building bridges.
Right,
I mean, are you suggesting, though, that China doesn't have the ammunition to deal with 5-6% growth? Because the counterargument is they've got the reserves.
Here's the point. China, job one for Chinese leaders is obviously to stay in power. And they know that more than one dynasty, and this is the Mao dynasty, as I've dubbed it, they've gotten thrown out because they had labor unrest related to high unemployment. So they're going to get the economy revived one way or the other. But the point is, in the meanwhile, is that really the death knell to the decade-long commodity bubble? And it has been a commodity bubble. It started in 2002, right after China joined the World Trade Organization.
I want to go back to the heart of this debate, which is our export economy to the United States and to Europe. We make assumptions about what happens when the growth rate of exports declines. I would suggest it's not normal over there. We really don't know what's going to happen when their export economy
comes
in.
No, we really don't. And bear in mind, Tom, that back in the 80s, everybody thought Japan was going to take over the world. I'd go to cocktail parties and suburban matrons would come up and say, "Hey, Gary, isn't my husband either going to be working for a Japanese company or run out of business by him?" Well, that was one of the things that told me that that was a peak in China. We've had 20 years of deflationary depression. China, I'm not sure is that different. In other words, there's this huge aura, and I think you hit it right on the head. The idea, this has been export-driven economy. And we're in an era now where global exports are not going to be growing the way they were.
We're going to come back. We're going to do a China show. We're getting him and Strazheim in together. Would that be great?
That would be great.
That would be killer.
You didn't even mention China-Japan exports, second and third biggest economies with tensions there.
Gary, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.